It's Tuesday, July 19th. You're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Welcome to the show, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stand by. The geek from Geek News Central is about to come on the air. He's putting on the headset. He is pulling up the microphone. He has opened a can of Red Bull. He has strapped himself into the chair. His assistant is slapping him in the face. Get ready. And now, your host, Todd the Geek from Geek News Central.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. I am Todd the Geek, your host, and hey, I hope everyone had a terrific weekend and a great first day back at work, because I know I did. It was an atypical Monday, but that's the way it goes. Hey, if you're listening to the show for the very first time, either you have subscribed or you're listening to us live on KYOU, we want to absolutely welcome you to the show and make sure that you get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out the website and all the great content over there, along with check out the podcast archives. I want to thank all of you that have been longtime subscribers for still being with us. Hey, I tell you, it's been I've been watching the listener statistics, and I'm pretty happy to say the numbers are going up. So more of you are tuning in or staying subscribed, actually, and it makes me feel good to see those numbers on the increase. And everyone that went out and told a friend about Geek News Central, I do appreciate it, because it definitely helped, and it definitely showed in the actual increase in listenership over the last week or so. Okay, I got a whole bunch of stuff to go through today. I'm going to talk a little bit about my weekend and some stuff that's happened here, and I've got a great lineup of tech news to talk about, and just a lot of stuff happening. Of course, a lot of stuff happening in the podcasting world, a lot of stuff happening in the regular tech world. Just to give you a rundown, ever since our launch on Friday for voting of the podcast awards site, that has just been going gangbusters. The site has seen nearly 500,000 unique page loads since we started. So we are very, very happy with that. People are voting left and right. We're learning a few things, and we know that there's some people up there that like to try to cheat too, but we've been able to keep that under control, and have feel that we've got a very, very, very good representation. And actually, you know, it's being very fair. And thus far, shows are running neck and neck within 2 or 3 percentage points of each other on votes. So it's, you know, this thing's going to go on until the 31st of July, voting will. And I'm sure it's going to be crazy all the way through. So make sure you continue to go over there every day and visit at podcastawards.com. You know, today was, you know, it's one of those days where the phone just rang off the hook. Actually, my cell phone did, I was actually talking to some of the station manager at KYOU, and I was talking to one of the account executives that was actually, I believe, back in New York, and we were talking about some of the policies of KYOU. And I tell you what, I think there's a lot of podcasters out there that are not fully aware on exactly KYOU's mission. You know, I think initially when I was exposed to the station, that I had some reservations on putting this show up on their network. And the reason for it was, it's because I really didn't understand how traditional radio worked. And Steven over there talked to me a little bit today and got me clued in. So what I'm going to be doing, I'm not going to expound upon it here in the podcast, but I'm going to put up a post tomorrow talking about it a little bit. So if any of you are podcasters out there, make sure you visit geeknewscentral.com, and you can check out my thoughts on the whole KYOU policy for podcasters. Okay, you know, how many of you have a nickname? Okay, I'm sure a lot of you do. Some of you have nicknames that you really don't want shared. I have a nickname that goes way, way, way back that some coworkers gave to me. And I had, for some reason, a long time ago, put a Technorati search up for my nickname. And it's so unique that it could only be a post on that nickname could be directed at me. So, you know, I was kind of seeing who's talking about, you know, talking about me one way or the other. And just yesterday, I found a link by an old buddy of mine that put up a weblog post that referred to my nickname. So he was very, very surprised when I dropped a comment in his inbox saying, "Hey, what you doing talking about me?" And I had showed up like 3 hours after he posted it. He couldn't believe that I found the post that quick, but it just goes to show you can't hide nothing in the net these days. Okay, hey, I am needed promos. If you are a podcaster and you have a promo, make sure you send me a promo to geeknewspromo@gmail.com. And I want to make sure that we're playing that your promos at the end of the show. I've got some for you today, but fill my Gmail box up and we'll play your promos on the end of the shows. Okay, y'all heard me complaining about my computer, how I was ready to smash it. It was not cooperating, and the thing was running. The hard drive was just continuously running, and I knew, I really did know that the hard drive was going bad, and I finally decided enough is enough, and I had a hard drive down here in the drawer, pulled one out as a, you know, regular laptop hard drive, stuck it in an enclosure, and I had actually gotten a link to an application called Casper XP. And for those of you that are getting ready to maybe migrate a desktop hard drive or even a laptop hard drive, this application has become my best friend. It was $49.95 and worth every penny of it. Basically, all you do is you load it like any other application. You tell which drive is the master, which one is the new drive that's going to be imaged. You start it to run, and what I had it plugged into a FireWire or USB enclosure, one of the two, and let it run. I went down and watched a movie with the wife, came up 2 hours later, it was already done, copied, it said there was no errors, so my laptop has an easily-to-remove hard drive. I popped that out, swapped it out, and I'm not kidding you, within 2 hours and 10 minutes, my system was back up and running like a brand-new machine, and I think I've got the hard drive laying here. Let's see if you can. Well, you probably can't hear it. But if I shake it, you can hear it go tinkle, 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 tinkle. It's got that thing was on the verge of self-destructing. So if you think you've got a hard drive going bad, get it replaced, okay? Because I had near disaster. Obviously, I was backing the system up every day because I knew it was coming. But hey, let's get into some reader email. And listener email. I say that about every time, don't I? I got a message from Kenneth. Now, Kenneth is probably going to be mad at me for pointing you guys at his podcast, but he has done his first one, so I'm sure he wasn't expecting me to do this, but I want you guys to go over to applenewsnow.com, check out his first podcast, okay? So fair warning, it's his first podcast. Go easy on him, but applenewsnow.com. Check it out. And give him some feedback, be constructive, be nice, and stay subscribed to his show, okay? And get, you know, stay with him for a while and see what happens. Also, Michael, you sent me the link to your new web design company. I want to tell everybody about that. It's novwebdesign.com. So novwebdesign.com. You guys go over there and check out Michael's services. And he's from in the New York area, so actually, those of you on the East Coast, if you want a little personal attention from Michael, or it doesn't matter where you're at, check out his web design company. I got an email from Matthew down in Australia, who has produced his first podcast, or actually, and it's at ozpodcaster.com. Hey, cool domain there, Matthew. Really cool. ozpodcaster.com. And he's asking me how to get his podcasts submitted and listed in iTunes because he's down in Australia. I don't know, Matthew. I really, really don't. And actually, I heard Adam Curry talk about this on his show the other day. He's got some concerns that people are having a problem getting their shows listed. So we'll just have to see what happens. But I don't think there's an avenue now. But if someone knows one, please let me know. Now, here's some good news for you. Being part of the internet means more than just surfing sites or downloading music. The perfect way to start is with your own .com name, and my friends at GoDaddy.com make it fast, fun, and affordable. Right now, .com names are just $3.99 when you purchase any other product. Plus, my listeners get an additional $5 off any order of $30 or more. Just enter the code GNCPODCAST That's GNCPodcast as your source code. For .coms, it's GoDaddy.com. As a reminder, and a lot of you have been requesting this, you can still use the promo code Todd, T-O-D-D, for 10% off on any order. So, you know, mix and match, use them as you wish, and big thanks for GoDaddy.com for being our sponsor. Okay, we all know that the space shuttle is still on the ground, and we're hoping that the NASA engineers get that fixed soon. But there is some activity going on at the space station regardless. The space station crew is going to be taking a Soyuz ride on Tuesday, and they're just basically going to be redocking it at another docking station to free up one of the air docks so that they can do one of their spacewalks in August. So that's pretty cool. They're going to move that tomorrow, and it's going to be on NASA TV. So you guys can check that out. Get over to nasa.gov. And watch for that coverage. Now, I did, one of our other Australian listeners sent me a link to some traditional media down there that are producing podcasts and how they've seen a surge in listeners. And what's pretty awesome, I think, is that the ABC's Radio National, I guess that's a national network down in Australia, is seeing more than 100,000 downloads a week of their audio programming. And they're including a science show, a late night live show, and also what else? It looks like that's it. Two shows are the primary big ones that are being downloaded, but they're getting ready to expand that into the number of formats that are going to be downloaded. So you can see big media is jumping on with both feet, and they're doing very well. And we're actually going to talk a little more about big media and some news that was in the papers here over the last couple of days, or actually today. Now, for those of you that have been reading my website, you know that I pointed at the latest new media pick of the week by Robin Good. If you guys don't have him on your required reading list, you need to add it, okay? He is every week coming out with these great, awesome links to services, tools, you name it. But it's his new media pick of the week by Robin Good, and I'll have a link to that in the show notes. That is a site that you're not going to want to miss and that you're going to want to get subscribed to with your RSS reader. For those of you that are not using a real simple syndication news reader, basically, and I had an email from a listener that was questioning me which one I use. I use FeedDemon, and that's Feed, and D-E-M-O-N, found at feeddemon.com. It's a great application where you can load basically hundreds of websites, literally thousands of websites, and read the content via that application like you would email versus having to surf to different sites and reading the front pages. It allows you to scan a lot of sites in a hurry. So I do use, I had got some requests for people asking which I use, FeedDemon and NewsCrawler, and that's newscrawler.com is another application that I really like. Now, those of you that are using Firefox, there is a plug-in that you can use with Firefox to get RSS feeds, but I'm not real familiar with that plug-in, but I do highly recommend FeedDemon or NewsCrawler. And I'll have those, again, in the show notes so that you guys can find the software applications easily. I did find a link, and it's actually a real good chart. It's a blog software comparison chart that goes over functionality, extras, maintenance, spam fighting tools, design, publishing interface, and it's got a matrix of all the major blog softwares, and it covers Blogger, TypePad, TypePad Plus, TypePad Pro, Blogware, WordPress, MovableType, and Expression Engine. And I'm not real familiar with Expression Engine, but it's got an awful lot of yeses in the yes column, so I don't know who created this, but it looks like a real great resource. And for those of you looking to switch to a different type of blogging application or getting ready to start blogging, this blog software comparison chart would be a good place to start. I've seen some of these before, but none that go to the level that this one does. How many of you out there that have blogs are fighting comment spam and trackback spam? I did last couple of weeks, I've done some sampling. Okay, those of you that have web blogs know of what a trackback is. A trackback is basically, for those of you that don't, a trackback is basically when another web blogger links to your website. When they submit their post on their website, their software actually goes out and essentially pings the site that it's referencing, and that so that site knows that someone has just written an article in reference to an article on your own site, and that's called a trackback. Well, what we're starting to see, and what my site has seen over the last couple of weeks, is spammers, comment and trackback spammers send these trackback links with nasty sites, with gambling, poker, you name it, whatever you get in spam email, they're sending via trackback and comment spam pings to our weblogs. But over at Geek News Central, we've averaged over 150,000 attempts per day. And, you know, a lot of sites would love to get that kind of traffic, but considering that there's only 86,400 seconds in a day, this breaks down to about 2 attempts every second. This is serious traffic going to a site that is basically junk email. Junk, it's not junk email, but it's junk comment, junk trackback data. And it's causing serious loads on servers. And today I had to turn off trackbacks because of this server load was becoming too high because of comment and trackback spam. Now, hopefully over the next week, while I've got these turned off, some people will take me off their spam spamming list, and it'll smooth out. But someone needs to get a handle on this, and I'm hoping that someone at Six Apart that is listening, or some of these people, their developers, will come up with a solution that is going to stop this stuff in the tracks. And we're, you know, if we need to take this down to the server level and start blocking IP blocks by the thousands, I don't mind doing that. But there's just got to be a way to get it under control, and I hope someone out there will take this on and do that. So that's kind of a interesting fact that I wanted to pass on to you guys about traffic levels going to weblogs. Okay, those of you that are movable type users, some good news. In version 3.2, you're not going to have to do any of those script updates. You're not going to have to read through the instructions real close to see what is required to do an upgrade. You basically are just going to upload the update to your website, and then you're going to load any page on your website, and it's automatically going to say, time to upgrade. And through the interface, the normal interface for the control panel, you're going to be able to just click a single button, and it's going to go out and update what needs to be updated. I think this is pretty awesome. I think it's a good move on Six Apart's part to do this. Now, if they really want to make this thing rock, how about making an update where I can just hit an update button on my website, and it'll go out and grab the update, drag it to my server, dump it in the right directories. Now, that would be an update system. But at this point, I don't think it's going to happen. But at least they're making it a little easier. And for those of you that are non-technical, it makes movable type a little more user-friendly. Okay, today, I didn't want to talk a lot about podcasting today, but I saw an article, and it was written by Frank Bernarco, and he was at GnomeDex. So I'm really not sure where his thought process is going, but he wrote this article talking about the death of podcasting. I did a pretty good rant on my website that you can go and read. But I think Steve Gilmore really did an eloquent job, a much better way than I ever could have. And it's kind of a satire. So I'd like you guys to go over and read this and what Steve has to say. And I think you'll be pretty impressed. It's comical, but I think these big media guys, and he basically what he does is he talks about, since Apple iTunes has come on the scene, the top 100 list is dominated by primarily commercial podcasts. Well, of course, because our little sites like Geek News Central, you know, and we've been trying to push you guys to bring more listeners in. But is my little site going to compete with New York Times, ABC, CNN? No way. I know it's not. Come on, let's get a grip. It's not going to happen. So, of course, those sites are going to have a big take up by, you know, people that are looking for content from those networks. Now, I'm not to say I'm glad Apple's here and joined the party because obviously our numbers have increased. But he seems to think that because we're not in, you know, the indie, supposedly the indie podcasters, which they're calling us, the rogue podcasters, are not in the top 100 list, that it's the death toll for us. Well, I disagree. I really totally disagree. And a whole bunch of people have tuned in on this, including Doug Kay, Dave Slusher, Steve Gilmore, myself. At least that's the three articles, external and one internal, that I've seen, or actually that I know of. So I'm going to link to all of them so that you guys can take a look. But I don't understand where this guy's coming from. And obviously, you know, he just, he's a big media guy, and he thinks big media is it. So, you know, I think that we've all know here is that you guys tune in to listen to, you know, it's a relationship. We all have a relationship together, and I think that's what it's all about. So you're not going to get a relationship with the person that's talking to you from ABC. You're going to get that same repackaged, you know, garbage in, garbage out. It's the same old stuff. It's the stuff that's being, you know, talked about by the big media people. So the revolution in media is in progress. We're part of it, and we want you to continue to be joining with us to make sure that this revolution in media succeeds. Okay, now, here's something that's kind of quirky from TiVo. TiVo is saying that they want you to watch more commercials. How come? You know, I have a DVR to save myself time, okay? There's not enough hours in a day. So I record shows that I want to watch. I go downstairs, and when the commercials come, I hit that fast-forward button 3 times, and within about 20 seconds, it's gone through 2 minutes or 3 minutes of commercials, and I'm right back into my show, and I can watch an hour show in 40 minutes. We all do it. All of us that have DVRs do it. But apparently, TiVo is going to put some ID tags that are going to alert customers to certain products. And if you are interested in learning more, then you can pause the show, which is recording live or has already been recorded, and you can receive a long format commercial. Okay, how many of you are going to hit pause while you're fast forwarding through a commercial because they put a symbol up saying, oh, do you want to listen to Brand X's long 3-minute format commercial? I don't think so. I really don't. But this is kind of a way for them to placate the National Advertising Board, NAB. I guess that's what their initials stand for. But I really don't get it. Now, how many of you use WinZip? I'm sure all of you have used it. If you haven't, I'll be very surprised. It's a compression tool, and WinZip is under new management. It's been picked up by a turnaround company. And what they are going to be doing is they're going to attempt to repackage WinZip so that, first of all, those of you that haven't paid for it will entice you more forcibly to register it. And they're going to add some security to it. So those of you that have hacked it probably will have to work a little harder to rehack it. I'll be very honest. Of all the computers I bought, I've always bought WinZip because it's a tool that I use, and I believe in paying for software that I use. So I think this is a good move. Whether or not people pay for it, that's another story, because it seems like the crackers and key jenners out there, that's the first thing they do. Anytime there's a new WinZip release out, they go out and crack it and create key gens so that you can build a serial number for it, so you don't get the mini nag screens that it allows. But it's a cheap application. Just pony up the money and pay for it, and WinZip will be with us for a long, long, long time. Okay, here's a company that I have disavowed from using. I've talked about it before. I'm going to talk a little bit more about it tonight. I'm going to talk about Zone Labs. I used to be a die-hard Zone Labs user, and Zone Labs is a Windows-based firewall application. But Zone Labs, for some reason, wants to become a Johnny of all trades. They want to have spyware, they want to have virus protection, they want to protect your instant messaging. I mean, there's just a stack of things that it does, and what they really lost sight of is doing firewalling good. Their application is breaking applications, and that's primarily the reason I switched, because it broke my Outlook email every time I upgraded. So I'm using a competitor's product now, not necessarily because that competitor's product is better, but because it doesn't break other applications that I have. And Zone Labs has continued to, I don't understand what's going on with them. So I want to hear from all of you, those of you that are still using Zone Lab and have upgraded to, or actually going to, if you're thinking about upgrading to version 6.0, that's due out here, I think, next week, let me know if you're going to upgrade. And if those of you using Zone Alarm 5.0, tell me about your current experiences with Zone Lab, if you've had any problems, or if you've quit using Zone Lab and are using a different product. I don't know what to tell you. Really don't. But I do know that on the PCs that I have here at the house, there's not a one of them that has Zone Labs running anymore because of my frustration level and what they, you know, they continue to add all these bells and whistles, which some of them were good, but it broke the functionality of other applications on my desktop. And it kind of leads into another story we're going to talk about later that you Mac fans will get a kick out of. Okay, and Apple has announced that they are planning to expand to video play. And we already know that the Apple iTunes Store has some music videos available for download. I think $1.99 you pay for them. But apparently it's going to become a bigger division or bigger part of the iTunes Music Store strategy. And of course, that's going to lead right into probably Apple or iPods that'll have video capability. Now, do you really want to watch a video on that little screen on the iPod? I would almost bet, now this is speculation on my part, that Apple's going to have a new device that they're going to release, because I just don't see them selling. I would not watch a video on an iPod. I don't think I would. Now, if that had enough juice to be able to play the video on a TV that I could carry it with me and play for a relative, maybe. I don't know. What do you guys think? You know? I know a lot of you have an iPod. Would you buy an iPod with video capability? Or would you rather they go to a bigger screen and a bigger device, maybe make their application work with some of the existing media players that are out there that have a bigger screen plays? Or are they going to try to keep you locked in and make you do a perpetual upgrade cycle like they've been famous for? Let's see. Let's see if Apple can break the mold and expand into other digital devices besides the iPod. But I highly doubt it because, you know, you look at their profit earnings statement from the last quarter, and it's, you know, it rallies around their keystone product, iTunes. It appears there is a whole slew of security issues that have been announced today for different applications. Of course, Windows XP is no exception, so there's a flaw in XP with the Service Pack 2, and it looks like there is a workaround for it that's been announced by Microsoft. There's also a bug in Skype. Those of you that are using the Linux version of Skype, there's a critical Winamp flaw that has been patched. So those of you that are Winamp users, make sure you get out and update your version of Winamp. And believe it or not, there's another Firefox flaw, which is going to be requiring you to upgrade to version 1.0.6. And they say that that is going to be available for download within the next couple of days. So I guess a whole bunch of people are rushing out security fixes. It's just an ongoing, continuous upgrade cycle for applications and utilities that we all use. So I don't think it's ever going to end, to be honest with you. Okay, I found a pretty cool, actually, this is an article that for those of you that really like to play with things and tweak and build gadgets, there's a dubious do-it-yourself, and it's called a MIRT, which will turn red lights green. It's a mobile infrared transmitter. They are highly, highly illegal, okay? If you get caught with one, you are probably going to go to jail. Okay, so, but there's an article on Gizmodo that talks about this device, and I just besides saying that, I have to laugh because when I lived overseas, I would, if you were only person on the highway at night, or actually on the road, there was really no highway where I was living. It was a lot of multi-lane streets. It was on an island, and if you got close to a traffic light and you flashed your high beams twice, the light would change. and it was some sort of a sensor that would be receptive to seeing a fire truck's strobe. But it worked with a high beam light. You just double click real quick, and the light would switch. Now, I know that all those sensors have been changed throughout the United States, but now apparently the big in thing is are these mobile infrared transmitters, and it's basically used by law enforcement. Obviously, it turned red lights green, but again, don't get caught with one of these. But there is a do-it-yourself guide on Gizmodo. The New York Times recently ran an article about a man that had a PC that he threw away because it was infested with spyware. And of course, you know, that I don't recommend that for everyone. There's ways to get around dealing with having too much, you know, with dealing with having spyware on your computer. But they go through a five-step process in order to make sure that you don't have any spyware on your PC. Number 5, turn off your PC and read a book. Number 4, make sure you have antivirus software installed. Number 3, install Adware or Spybot Search and Destroy. Number 3, make sure you use Firefox as your browser. Number 2, switch to Linux. Number 1, and those of you that are Mac users, you're going to get a laugh out of this, get a Mac. And I have to be the first to admit, ever since I've had my Mini, there's been no spyware nor viruses on it. But I can't say the same about my PC. So the Mac folks do have something going there, folks, and you cannot deny that. But I don't think I would recommend you taking your computer and throwing it in the trash because it's infested with spyware. You know, reformat it, do whatever, but don't throw it away. Okay, there is a survey out that is on Engadget that says women control the DVR. Now, I didn't think about this until today, really. I really didn't. I thought, you know, my wife and I both use the DVR pretty equally. But I must admit that I had a... went downstairs. I knew there was a program that was supposed to be recording, and on the screen was a big red notice that basically says the hard drive was full. Do you want to erase a program to continue recording this program? And I thought, why is this DVR full? I haven't been recording anything. So of course I said, yes, let's erase some program or erase some shows. And I went in there, and what did I find? I found Wiggles, Barney. Something called Booba. All the shows that my little 18-month-old likes watching, and it was full, absolutely full, a kid's show. And I'm thinking, tonight when I read this article, yeah, women do control the DVR. So, so of course, I had to ask permission. Honey, which one of these can I delete? And of course, she was very carefully instructed me which shows I could delete, which ones he'd outgrown, the whole nine yards. So, fellas, have you looked at your DVR recording list lately? Okay, there's an article on TechDirt. It talks about due reminder services risk legal liabilities. And, you know, I'm not so interested in the legal liabilities issue of this article, but I am interested in the reminder services. Now, all of us fellows have a very hard time remembering birthdays, anniversaries, all of those pertinent dates that you get in trouble for not reminding yourself of. You know, what I did is I actually put them in my, here's a little secret, guys. I put all those dates in my Outlook appointment thing, and then I set a two-day advance notice for all those and made them repetitive so that they repeat from year to year. Well, there's actually services out there that will text message you for meetings, remind you of birthdays, the whole nine yards. But if you're forgetful like me, you may want to use one of these services. So I'm going to link this article up. You can check it out and, you know, give some friendly advice there, guys. For those of you that are always forgetting those special days, you know, obviously you don't want to forget the day that you proposed to your wife or the first day that you went out on a date. All that stuff is critical. You got to keep that remembered. If you don't, it'll come back to haunt you later. But anyway, check out this article. Okay, Doc Searles. Everyone should know who Doc Searles. If you don't, there'll be a link to his show, actually to his website, and his very first podcast. So I have not listened to this, but it's going to be on my number one playlist for tomorrow morning. So Doc Searles has joined the podcasting revolution and has his very first show. Congratulations, Doc, for joining the party. All right, there is... what else do I have tonight? Oh. Doug Kay over at IT Conversations has a great, basically, it's a nice little diagram on a web post that talks about how to do Skype recording. And this is about as simple as it gets. For those of you that are having a hard time doing Skype recordings, and if you have a mixer, you'll want to check out this link that I'll have up on the website from an article from Doug Kay. Now, there's a website that I read religiously, and it's really not a website per se, but it's called More Stuff for Less Bargaining Blog, or More Stuff for Less Bargain Blog, excuse me. And what I like about this site is he goes out and finds all of the just great deals. And some of them are not so great deals, but every once in a while there's a gem in there. You know, out of every 25 articles, he'll have a real terrific price, found a real terrific price on something. So I'm going to put a link up to this guy's website. And if you have not, I've recommended his site a couple of times. So if you haven't already checked it out before, make sure that you get over there and subscribe to his Real Simple Syndication feed, and you'll be able to stay on top of all the great deals. And if you're a bargain hunter like I am, you'll be able to find some cheap prices on some cool tech gear. Okay, Boing Boing has an article that talks about plankton levels in the ocean. And I'm just going to read the first paragraph on this, and then I'll let you guys go over and read the rest. It basically said, for reasons that mystify scientists, ocean temperatures are rising. We kind of know why that is, global warming, which is killing off the plankton. As a result, animals higher on the food chain are facing mass starvation. Now, I don't know how much of this is hype and how much of this is overstating facts, but it does link to a very interesting article. For those of you that are concerned about our environment, that you may want to go over and check out. But a good read nonetheless. And I was not aware originally that there was a lowering of plankton levels in the ocean. And that's quite concerning because of the importance that plankton, you know, it's a basis upon all of the, you know, it's a basis of a lot of life on this planet. Let's be very, you know, be very straight up. Now, the thing that we've all been waiting for on Friday, this coming Friday, we're going to be doing the review of all of the intros that people have submitted to us. And I don't know what the count is right now. We've got a number of them to go through, and we'll be playing those at the end of the show. So if you're still working on a promo, make sure you get it in to me before Thursday to geek@geeknewscentral.com or geeknewspromo@gmail.com. Well, you can send your promos there also, regular promos. And of course, what we're going to do too is we're going to give away a book on Friday. So make sure that if you're interested in getting a podcasting, the do-it-yourself guide, that you submit to me two things. What you like the most about the show, and number two, what you hate the most about the show. Okay? So be critical. And provide me some good feedback, and I'll throw a book out to the best feedback that I get back from any listener, open to any listener. And you, and here's another email address for you. Send those to geeknews@gmail.com, okay? It's important that you send those to geeknews@gmail.com. Okay, I've got some promos for you, and we're also going to play maybe one tune for some PodSafe music. I know some of you had wanted us to play some tunes. We wrapped up pretty good tonight on content. I've got some time, but I'll play these promos, and then we'll play one track from some PodSafe music, and more on that when we get to it.
I want to, Daddy. Hey, Mama, I'm not sleepy.
Does this sound familiar to you? If so, DomesticLife.org is calling your name. Tune into this family-safe podcast where a young married couple discusses the ups and downs of raising two small children in today's day and age. Again, that's domesticlife.org.
We've designed a site to bring podcasting to geocachers.
Or is it geocaching to podcasters?
Well, anyway, if you've joined the podcasting revolution
and enjoy the hobby of geocaching,
have we got a site for you.
Podcaster.com. If you're a geocacher
or curious about this activity,
you'll want to log on to podcacher.com.
Home of the Podcacher Podcast.
The podcast all about geocaching.
Geocaching news,
tips and tricks,
tools of the trade,
geocaching field tours,
and podcaches.
Hence the name of the site.
On certain shows, we'll give you audio clues that lead you to a hidden cache of treasure.
Well, trinkets, actually.
Yeah, but it's still fun to find.
Right.
Right.
So go to podcacher.com.
Podcacher, for the geocacher in all of us.
Okay, here's a catchy little tune from the PodSafe Music Network. It's Adrina Thorpe, and the song is titled More Than 17. It's a catchy little tune, and we'll close it out at the end, but here it is. Okay, folks, that's it for tonight. Thanks for staying subscribed and being a listener here on the Geek News Central podcast, which is a Podcast Connect production. And remember, podcasting is a revolution in media. Keep on podcasting, folks. Bye-bye.